Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Applied Human Design Podcast. I am Heather, and I am so happy that you are here spending some time with me, as per usual. So today is a really, really fun episode. I probably say that every week, but it is. We're going to be talking about goddess asteroids, specifically working with goddess asteroids. There's one specifically that I'll go into a bit more of, like, the mythology and the story about. But I want to actually have, like, a kind of foundational, I guess, place that I can direct people to who are, I guess, just curious about how I, and this is the thing, is that, like, because goddess asteroids is a reasonably or relatively very new part of astrological practice, right? It's very recent. So there's not, like, one set way to work with them. And I mean, I would argue that is true for all astrology. You're finding what works for you. So what I'm going to share is obviously not, like, the be all and end all. And I know personally, like, many, many astrologers who work in a very different way than I do with goddess asteroids. So I'll be sharing my thing, and if it resonates with you, that's awesome. But obviously, before we get started, you need to, if you're listening on Spotify, I'm going to wait a second so you can kind of, you know, click out of the episode, go scroll up to the top of the podcast and just hit 5 stars, right? It's easy. I'll wait. Cool. Thanks for doing that. Okay. And you know, if you are listening on whatever, Apple Podcasts or some other app, you know, if you also feel like leaving a rating and review or something like that, a positive one, that would also be great, right? But those on Spotify, you know, you have no excuse. There's nowhere to leave words. You literally just hit the 5 stars. You're done, you're dusted, and I'll love you forever. I love you forever anyway, you know that. My love is unconditional. Okay, so let's just get stuck in. So the place that I want to start, actually, I want to make sure that my, okay, no, perfect. All right. So where do I want to start? Goddess asteroids, what are they? So what I'm talking about when I'm talking about goddess asteroids is essentially, like, okay, so, you know, obviously when you start studying astrology, there are a lot of planetary bodies that you have to learn. You have to learn their meaning and how they're interpreted and how they impact each other, right, through aspects and stuff like that. You've got the sun, the moon, you know, you heard of them, Mars, Venus, right? Planets, essentially. Except there is so much stuff in space, you know. Obviously, there's a lot of nothingness in space as well, which, funnily enough, is often always also denoted on an astrology chart. You know, just the nodes, for example, are points in space. They're not objects. They are literally just empty places in space. But anyway, I digress. There's a lot of stuff in space, and there's more than just our solar system. There's more than just our known 9 planets, or however you think of Pluto. and what that means is that over time, as more and more of these planetary objects have been discovered, they have been named. They've been named and numbered, right? And so when we say goddess asteroids, it's like, yeah, so a lot of them are actually asteroids, but not all of them. Sometimes they're, like, what people call, like, a dwarf planet, or, like, a centaur, or a fixed star, for example, a point in space, like the nodes, and, like, Black Moon Lilith, all of that. And obviously they're not always goddesses as well. You can have asteroids, like, there is an asteroid named Heather. There is an asteroid named potentially your name. You can look it up. So they take on all kinds of names, but yeah, so I guess, like, goddess asteroids is just, like, generalizing the clump of objects in space that are, like, named after goddesses or beings, deities, etc., from multiple pantheons, right? And what else do I want to say about what are they? No, I feel like from that we can go into how people work with them. So taking all of that, I guess I'm going to specifically speak to the goddess ones among them, like the ones that are specifically named after, you know, traditionally feminine deities. The thing is that with this resurgence and also like why people are feeling really, really more and more drawn to seek out these goddess asteroids in an astrological practice and as a method of healing through astrology. So as we have been really healing and working with the divine feminine and, you know, getting back in touch with and redefining what it means to be a woman in this world for us uniquely, right? And not even just for like people who like identify as women, but everyone in the world, redefining like all the different elements of the feminine that can exist within one single person. Because under the patriarchy, women have more or less been put into certain boxes, and this would obviously like differ, like which boxes, which archetypes as a woman you were allowed to express would differ on like your class status, your race, your education and upbringing, the social circles you moved in, where you were born, what country you're born into. All of these things would determine the very small amount of archetypal expression that you got to explore as a woman. For example, like, you know, were you just allowed to be a mother? were you just allowed to like be like someone's wife, someone's mother? Or were you just allowed to be like the opposite end of the spectrum, like the strong independent woman who doesn't need no man or whatever it is, right? What were the archetypes that were like societally acceptable for you, again, based on all those things I said above, and obviously like what generation you were born into as well was going to have a huge impact on that. And you know, as much as we are like progress, I mean, over the past like I guess 40, 50 years or whatever, like in most societies there's still a very small amount of expression that is societally accepted for women. You know, a lot of us don't get to, unless we want to and are courageous enough to, you know, be kind of like on the outskirts of a lot of like regular society, whatever that is, you're not really allowed to play with and express like your really dark feminine. People are like, oh my god, you know, what is that? Or it's only allowed to come out in acceptable places, be that through art or through your sexuality, right? And you're not really allowed to do it unless it's in a place that society has deemed is safe for women to express the dark feminine, if that makes sense. So why, and all of this I feel contributes to why people are more and more finding and really connecting with the goddess asteroids, because, you know, in pantheons, so religious deities, where there are multiple expressions of God, right? Where there's not just one monotheistic God, but there are, yeah, multiple different expressions of God. You're going to have these almost like characters, right? Different characters or different archetypes that are all expressions of the one overarching like God, or, you know, like extreme expressions of different aspects of humanity, because as we know, of course, humanity is also just like a small little fragment representation of God. So we all have many different archetypes within us, and yeah, a lot of these like pantheons with multiple gods and goddesses have different archetypes that we can play on, that we can express with. So, you know, the pantheon that I work the most with in my personal witchcraft practice is the Greek gods and goddesses. But there are so many, right? There's obviously like the Nordic pantheon, there's like the Hindu pantheon, I mean, there are 1,000 Celtic, and you know, I will admit I do not know much at all, just because of it's not a part of the world where I've spent a ton of time. I don't know much at all about like the North American and South American, for that matter, pantheons, but I know they also have multiple expressions and multiple archetypes that are there. So, when you have these different archetypes to play with, and this is really what these pantheons are, and again, this is all just my personal practice and how I work with it, they are really representing the fact that we are not just like singular, everyday the same humans, we all have every different like possible color and personality and expression of what it means to be human within us. And yeah, we probably favor one or two that we, you know, express the most on a day-to-day basis. But the others are always there. And, you know, from a lot of like literature that I've read, again, my focus is like Greek mythology. If you just, like, you might have one or two deities that you worship and that you are like sworn to, like if you're a priestess of Artemis or whatever, for example, like, yeah, you would like favor her. Like you'd give the most offerings to her. You'd do the most prayers with her. But if you fully neglected all of the other gods, you know, the gods would, you know, smite you in the way like a lot of the ancient Greeks would see it. But the way that I like to think of it today, it's like if we ignore certain parts of ourselves in favor of only expressing our inner Artemis or only expressing our Zeus or whatever it is, then we're completely ignoring like 11, 12, 13, however many different archetypes within us. We're not letting them have their time to shine. And rather than being like external gods smite us, it's like our life starts to fall apart because we've been focused so heavily on being this one thing, this one identity, this one part of ourselves. We think that's the be all and end all, that we neglect all these other areas of our life and all these other ways of expressing ourselves, right? We feel incomplete. That's the thing. We will feel incomplete until we learn to accept that we are not just one thing. So that is a very long-winded way of saying, working with the goddess asteroids, it provides healing because you're able to, I guess, add a new dimension to the astrology chart and to an astrology reading and to an astrology like exploration if you're guiding yourself through like studying astrology and learning your chart and all of that as well, because you get to add in the extra dimension of playing with all these different archetypes that do reside within you. So, you know, one thing that I do focus on in my evolutionary astrology reader training, which is open for enrollment, by the way, I pushed it back a month because I had a lot going on with like doing Akashic records and like moving into psychic work and all of that, but we're starting early August. So if you do have any questions about it, you can send me a DM on Instagram or email. They're the best ways to get in touch with me. Otherwise, we'd love to see you in there. But yeah, one thing that I do say to my students in there is like, think of the planets as aspects of our psyche, right? Elements of our psyche, each of them representing a function, a thing within the psyche that needs to be expressed. And if we are focusing too much on the sun and ignoring Saturn, our life will fall apart. And adding in goddess asteroids adds a whole other dimension to that. And it's specifically healing to, I think, like, again, the divine feminine, because in the classic, well, if you take like a classic, like, I guess, look at the gods that are represented in the nine, you know, the planetary bodies that we work with in astrology majorly, like being Moon, Sun, Mercury, Venus, etc., you've really only got like the classically feminine Moon and Venus. I definitely have heard the argument that Mercury is a they-them, and I can definitely see that. But either way, there's definitely an imbalance, right? And then when you start to bring in all these other elements of what it means to be a woman, and, you know, I think it's funny because women are definitely like that traditionally, like we are much more fluid and ever-changing. If you start to think about it like that, but either way, I digress. And so it can be really, really, really so fun to look at which goddess asteroids. And so this is where I'm working into how I work with them uniquely, but looking at like where the goddess asteroids, like the ones that kind of occur in important parts in your chart, because they're going to be the probably archetypes that either you really connect to the stories within that goddess, or you have lived that archetype, or you need to step into that archetype more, right? You need to explore that archetype more. There are so many different ways it can play out. So this is where I will say, circling back, how I do work with the goddess asteroids, and also like in comparison how other people do. So astrology, like, and the interpretations of the planets has taken place over thousands and thousands of years, right? We have kind of nailed down and figured out what the sun represents, what Saturn brings, what Mars brings, what Mars represents, what Venus, etc., etc., over thousands of years. And just because we haven't discovered them for that long, and they have not been given that much recognition and that much, like, they haven't been brought to the forefront so much, the goddess asteroids just don't have as much research and, like, practical application behind them to be able to say for sure, like, okay, cool, like, when you have a transit from this planet, this will happen. I know there are tons of astrologers who do, like, personal research and stuff with that, but there's no, like, consensus throughout the practice that this means this, right? For most, anyway. And so that is why in my personal practice, and I guess also because I tend to bring in my work with deities and my witchcraft into my astrology as well, but that would be like the reason that, or the way, sorry, the way that I work with them is that, yeah, so if you have it at an important part of your chart, like let's say you have like a goddess asteroid exactly conjunct your sun, right? And your sun representing like your light, your radiance, your personality, your authentic self glowing out into the world, the thing that brings you to life, then that goddess asteroid is influencing something very, very, very inherent to you. And you're probably going to be either living out their story or need to embrace their story or have experienced their story, right, throughout your life. And so via working with that deity, learning that deity's story, getting to know their story, and even reflecting on your life for how that story and the archetypes within that goddess's story are reflected in your life can just be so healing and also illuminating. Because when you start to see, it's like when we start to reflect on our life in the using the lens of mythology and story, and when these mythologies and stories have these like overarching lessons or their own associations, like ways that, like conclusions that people have come to about what the Hades myth means and like the Persephone myth and all of that, and you know what the Lilith stories and mythology mean, right? You can quite often get a really good like retrospective point of view on why certain things in your life happened the way they did to lead you to where you are now. What was the purpose behind them, right? So it's like doubly healing because you get to explore an archetype within you that may have been repressed or that you didn't even know was deeply, deeply there, just by learning that it's conjunct your sun or wherever it is. And you also get to like connect with, you know, I think of the deities as my friends, right? It's like you can connect with a friend over a shared similar story with similar themes, and that friend can be like, here's what I learned from this experience. Maybe that will help you as well. Important parts in the chart, right? So basically, I think I focus, and again, you can work with it however you want. Me personally, I'm going to look for conjunctions, right? So conjunctions to planets, especially personal planets or the lunar nodes, as well as angles. So if you have any, like any goddess asteroids, because you will have some in important parts of your chart, trust me, there are so many. But so whichever goddess asteroids you have conjunct, maybe like your ascendant or your descendant or your MC or your IC, your sun, your moon, your Mercury, your Venus, your Mars, what else is there? You know, any of those. And then when they are in conjunction with that place, you're going to think about, okay, what area of my life or my psyche does this particular angle or planet represent? And how is the story of this goddess asteroid reflected in that area of my life? So if you have a goddess asteroid conjunct your Venus, right? And we know that Venus is about oftentimes like our approach to love, what we need through love, can be like our experience through in what we place value in, but also like romance, especially is definitely in Venus's wheelhouse. And so you might start to think about the stories that are in there, and maybe you start to notice like, oh, that goddess's story and their like love relationship is really like reflected with me and my ex-husband or something like that. And through connecting with that story, you actually get it's like an outsider's point of view, or like a different point of view into something very real that's happened in your life. Again, through the lens of mythology, but also I just think of it as connecting with a good friend. So that would be Venus, right? You know, maybe you have one conjunct like your MC, which is that, like, to generalize it, like that career line and that most visible part of the chart. So a goddess asteroid conjunct your MC is going to be something that's probably really visible to other people. So yeah, if you have like a goddess asteroid conjunct your MC, like other people might even like see those qualities or tell you that they see those qualities in you when you start to learn about the particular goddess. Also with it being connected to your career, like maybe the story or the experience of that particular goddess correlates to your experience with how you've walked your career path or what you want to do with your career and things like that. So a lot of many other astrologers will work with goddess asteroids differently. And so this is just for me personally, because I like to like, So how other people will work with it and how you can absolutely work with it is like choose the goddess asteroid specifically that you want more information about, like looking at, say, like, what's a popular one? Like Vesta, right? And, you know, looking up what Vesta's mythology is, and then also what other astrologers have come to associate the asteroid Vesta with, and then looking at it by sign and house and garnering information about the Vesta stuff in your life from that, right? Kind of like you would with the sun or like you would with the moon and stuff like that. Yeah, for me, I just haven't done that it's interesting because as I've been exploring goddess asteroids for myself and in my own chart and also in clients' chart, friends' charts, and, you know, obviously Taylor Swift's chart, there are other celebrity charts that I work with as well. I'm joking. but yeah, I've really started to notice that the goddesses or the mythology that I've wanted to learn about the most, or the deities that I've naturally felt the most drawn to, I'm like, oh, of course, it's conjunct my moon, it's conjunct my north node, it's right on my ascendant, you know, it's like again and again. Like there are very few deities that I feel deeply connected to that are not actually deeply connected to my chart as well. So that might be a place to start. It's like, well, whose stories are you drawn to? Because that might mean that they are in an important part of your chart. And, you know, this is not to say that you wouldn't also look at other aspects as well. Just for me, it's like there are just so many that I don't need to go further than looking at conjunctions, because, like, even just like my chart, right? I think I have like a dozen at least from what I've even just explored so far that have conjunctions to important and, like, you know, tight conjunctions to important parts of my chart. So it's not like I've had to be like, oh, you know, I don't have any goddess asteroids in my chart, like conjunct important places. Do I have any squares? Do I have any oppositions? Blah, blah, blah. But maybe one day I will explore those stories a little bit deeper and see how the aspects play out for me, for clients, etc. Okay. So I'm sure there are other ways to work with them too, on top of like those two kind of major ways. I know astrologers who do like goddess asteroid readings specifically, where you're going to, you're going to get, maybe they have like a specific like types that they work with, and then they'll just tell you where they and your are in your chart and what they represent for you and all those things. But yeah, for me, working with the story and mythology is the most healing way to do this. So what should we talk about? Okay, so the last thing that I wanted, second last thing that I wanted to talk about is so when you go onto astro.com or, you know, wherever you tend to pull your astrological charts up, there are like the best known goddess asteroids that a lot of people work with. So if you get, Demetra George has an amazing book on goddess asteroids. It's just called Goddess Asteroids by Demetra George. But you know, she goes through like I guess the major ones, the ones that have been like worked with and researched most specifically from an astrological lens, right? But you know, like the rest of astrology, it uses the Roman pantheon, Venus, Mars. Obviously, like they are the Roman pantheon, which is great. But I personally don't connect very much to the Roman pantheon, so I'm not working with like goddess asteroid, whatever they use, like Pallas, even though they do call it Pallas Athene. I would be more likely to just call it Athena. And you know, things like that. So I did have a bit of a look. Who was it? Oh, this is going to annoy me. Yeah. Okay. So I think Juno, I believe, is the, Roman version or like equivalent to Hera. And you can, like, so Juno is one of those classic goddess asteroids that you don't even need to know like the special code number for. So the code numbers is what I'll talk about in a sec. And you can just like click Juno and you'll see where it is in your chart when you're on advanced chart selection in astro.com. But if you go through the list of all the asteroids and you go to the H section and you scroll down to HE, you will see that there is a Hera. So this is where, I mean, like, you make this practice your own. And because I personally deeply, much more deeply, just understand the mythology of Hera so much more than I do of Juno, I'm going to use that. And so I haven't actually looked to see, actually, I think I did check that there was a Freya, but that's the only one I've looked at for Norse mythology. But you know, if you work with the Norse pantheon or the Celtic pantheon, or anything like that, I wonder if they're there as well. Maybe we can have a bit of an explore. If you find like a deity that you really, really love and you find it in the list, then send it to me. I'd be really, really curious who you guys work with and who's in there, because I'm pretty sure I've seen, again, I could eat my words, but I'm pretty sure I've seen at least a couple of Hindu deities in there as well. And yeah, I'm sure there are more. And like I said, you can like put the Queen of England in there and see where the Queen of England falls in your chart. And you know, maybe you'll discover that you have Princess Diana like conjunct your Venus and you really relate to her like love story. I put love in quotation marks because poor Diana. But yeah, you know what I mean, right? It's like, here's the thing, is that like, this is where it gets really fun, because people are like, oh, they're getting so silly. Like, you can't just like, you know, you can't just like look up where Princess Diana is in your chart and like think that means something astrologically. But if we think about humanity from the perspective that we are all just little parts, little fragments of a whole, right, of source, then we are all little fragments of each other. Like, we're all expressing each other. And so like we all see each other in each other's stories. And so that is why I really love working with the goddess asteroids from this specific perspective, because it's working through story. It's working through creating connection, through seeing similarities in each other. So again, if you look at the Princess Diana asteroid, and although I'm you don't quote me on that, but I'm pretty sure there is one. And, or maybe there's just like Diana, but then that would be connected to the, goddess Diana. But anyway, digressing again. And then you might start to see that in that specific area of your life that the asteroid is conjunct or in aspect to, you see some part of Diana's story in you or in your life or what you've been through, right? And of course it's not going to look exactly the same, but those elements are there. So yeah, I was having a bit of a look, oh yeah, so then I need to talk about so what you'll need to start looking at your favorite goddesses in your chart is astro.com or wherever you do it. Again, I don't know where you pull your charts, but that's what I use. And you'll need to go into advanced chart selection and you scroll down to the very bottom. And on the left, you'll see a list of like additional objects. And that's where like the standard ones are. Like that's where you'll see, what did I say? Juno, Pallas Athene. Vesta, there are a few others there, so you can start there if you want. But if you want to get really fun, you'll see like the alphabetical list. So you'll be able to go to A, and then there will be like hundreds and hundreds of, let me get it up actually so I can make sure I'm getting this right. Yeah, so select from following lists is the title, and then it says asteroid name and number list with 23,838 names. So there is plenty for you to play with. And then, yeah, if you know you want to look specifically for Hephaestus, right, let's say, or Hera, like I said, Hercules, any of these, then you will go to the H. And they were just the three that were on my screen, in case you couldn't tell. I'm in the H section. And then you scroll down until they're in alphabetical order, right, so it's reasonably easy to find. And you can select them, and then they'll come up when you, well, next to the name, it will have a number in brackets. And so when you select the name or the number, like when you tick the box, in the little box on the right of that, where it says manual entry, you'll see that same number, like the corresponding number to the name you want, popping into that box. And so what you can do is just like keep track by writing down, okay, I know when I want to look up Hercules, let's say, I'm always gonna type 5,143. And when you put that, let's see where Hercules is in my chart actually, since we're looking at it. So when you type that in, you know that it will pop up straight away. Hercules, conjunct my Saturn. Oh, interesting. Definitely something to unpack there. I also have Hera, conjunct my Saturn too. I discovered that today. But yeah, so it's really fun. It is a great way to spend, like, I was going to say an hour, but literally you could spend 5-6 hours doing this. Another really fun thing to do and to play with is to put in like your friends' names. Like I said, there's a Heather, right? Like if I'm, I hope I'm getting that right. I'm pretty sure I've played with Heather before, but hey, if I'm conjunct any of your personal planets, then let me know. That's cool. But yeah, maybe your mom's name's in there. Maybe your like ex's name's in there. Maybe your current partner's name is in there. Maybe your best friend, right? All these things. You know, my best friend's name is Vicky, so obviously Victoria is there. Yeah, it was probably named after the queen, naming the queen, but whatever. I take it as my best friend. So yeah, you can just have so much fun and play. So yeah, some ones that I looked up to let you know. So Hecate is there, goddess of magic and witches, the cross, keeper of the crossroads, keeper of keys, all of these wonderful things. She's number 100. So you can just type in 100 into the manual entry, press yes, next, and you will see where Hecate falls in your chart. Of course, I have her conjunct my Moon-Pluto conjunction in Scorpio. Who else? So Persephone is another one of my favorite ones to work with. So Persephone is number 299. And yeah, I have her conjunct my North Node. So she is obviously a huge part of my evolutionary story. And it's no wonder that like almost, like I swear almost all the clients that I work with, they have Persephone at an important part in their chart. Cause I'm like, we always need to work with the Persephone archetype, don't we? So, you know, then when, once you have kind of seen where these different myths and goddesses fall in your chart, that's where the fun really, really starts. Because then it's like, okay, let's read their stories, right? Let's learn about them. So this is where I would say, like, pick one or two at a time, because it is so, this is where it's like, just don't skip over it. Like, it can be so healing, nourishing, life-changing to just choose one, right? So maybe try and find one that's at a really, really important or pivotal part in your chart. And you might look depending on what you're working on in your life right now. So if I was really, really working on my Mercury, Moon, Pluto conjunction in Scorpio and like working on unrepressing emotions, let's say, and I saw that Hecate was there too, I might deep dive into the story and the mythology of Hecate and learn all I can about that, and then take some time to reflect on how that shows up in my emotional situation, and how also her story and like what can I learn from her stories to help me alchemize the repressed emotion that does exist in that Moon Pluto conjunction, right? And then, you know, same for like if you really want to know about relationships, right? What's conjunct your Venus, maybe? If you want to work on career, Sun or MC, 10th house, any of these things. Ascendant too, right? All about like being seen and your identity in the world. So like any asteroids conjunct your ascendant are going to be really, really like present, obvious, and deeply ingrained in your story. Just like planets conjunct the AC, the ascendant, right? It's like you can't separate the two. Like you and that planet or that deity, you're inseparable. Okay, so that is everything. if you guys want to, like, if you guys would find it interesting for me to, I guess, talk about a couple or even more of the specific goddess asteroids and their, from the lens of their mythology and how it might play out in your chart if you have it in conjunction to a specific, like, area of your chart, let me know. I think that could be really fun. If there's something I love talking about, it is mythology, particularly Greek. So I will apologize in advance. I'm not super well versed in many others. Like I said, I know Freya and a couple of other Norse gods, but not as intimately as I know my Greek pantheon. So I'd probably focus there. But yeah. Okay, so that's everything. If you want to chat to me, I am Relentless Alignment on Instagram. Always love talking to you guys. Always love. I'll see you next week. Like always, I don't know what we're going to be talking about next week, but I'm sure it will be super interesting as always. Big love. And yeah, talk to you later.